Who of you were here last week when Neil started to speak about the Beatitudes? Who of you were here? Who of you listened to that sermon again during the week? I mean, it was just like boom. I listened to it about 3 times. Trusting the Lord that I would be able to latch onto it and to truly to start building on it. Remember, the Lord is speaking to us about developing a culture and the culture of the kingdom, and the attitude or the way of thinking that the kingdom requires. And Neil so eloquently put it last week. So I'm just going to park a little bit this morning with the first one. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And there's so much in this. Jesus says, it says, seeing the crowd, he went up into the mountain, he sat down, the disciples came to him, he opened his mouth and taught them, and then he makes this 8 statements. He doesn't explain them. Explains them later on a little bit, but you gotta concentrate to find the links between what he said. But he just puts them there, and it's stuff that we so often hear, and we've listened to the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount so many times, and it's almost like we don't pay attention. But I truly believe that the Lord actually wants us to pay attention, that he wants us to behold, he wants us to really press into the word that the Lord is releasing in our midst. So I really want to encourage you in your small groups, even in your personal time with the Lord. Don't make a distinction. Okay, now I've got this other book that I'm reading. You know, if you're part of this house and the Lord is releasing word into this house, that's the word that you can spend time on. This is, if you believe that the Lord gives us to us corporately, then there's something in it for you individually. So I really want to encourage us, not by way of a way that, not a program, but by way of an understanding that when the Lord speaks to a church, it's important that those people that are part of this church need to eat that bread. Okay. Talking about bread. I've got a bread here. And most of you will have a relationship with bread. Some good relationships. Some of you absolutely love bread. Some of you are gluten intolerant. Some of you don't like starch and carbohydrates. Some of you absolutely love bread. Some of you love it with butter. Some of you like it with jam. Some of you put fish paste and jam on it. I know that's weird. But I know there's someone here. But each one of us has a relationship with bread. And Jan, what does this have to do with being poor in spirit? I want to illustrate something to you, that when the word speaks about the poor in spirit, there are actually just 2 Greek words that is used for poor. The one is penes, and a derivative of that, and that means that you don't have much. It's like you work, and everything that you work for, you use for what you live. Who of you are there? Who of you are there? Okay, who of you sometimes have a lot of month at the end of your salary? Okay, we never have a lack of money, we just have too many days. So the Bible does describe that, and it describes it as a widow that would receive a small amount of money from a relative or from a friend. And it describes people that have to work hard to make a living. And some of you could relate to that. But that's not the word that is used for poor in spirit. So we all have needs. And some of our needs are met by our own wisdom, by our own hard work, by that which we supply. But that is not the word that is used. The word that is used of someone that is so poor that that person is dependent on somebody else giving them food to survive. That's the word poor in spirit. It speaks about a desperation. And I want to tell you that if we had someone that was that poor in spirit this morning, they would have run. They would have run for the bread. Because the bread is their very sustenance of life. I saw this when we went to Mozambique a couple of years back. Mozambique was the poorest country according to the World Monetary Fund. And we went to Mozambique to serve with Iris Ministries. And then you go and you see the orphans that are already poor. Then you see the people that time in Maputo that was very, very poor just after the Civil War. And then you went to Bokaria, which is the rubbish dump of Maputo. It is there where the poor people, the people that work hard but has a little, go and throw away their stuff that they don't eat. And there you find the children that live on Bokaria. When they see the trucks coming with rubbish, they flood their trucks. It's little children, they jump up. I want to tell you that they put stuff in little tins that you wouldn't give to an animal. They pick that out and they eat that. When you arrive, when we went there and we arrived with bread, we would ask them, please stand in a line. They don't listen. They're all over you. They just grab at the bread, even if they're told everybody's got to get, have good manners. If you don't, if you're going to rush, we're not going to give you. They don't care because they are so desperate for a piece of bread that they would forego good manners. And that is the kind of poor in spirit that Jesus speaks about. That we are a people that understand that when we pray for more of God, it's not a question that we think it would be nice. It would be really special if Jesus showed up. It would be really special if the Holy Spirit comes. It is the people that say, God, if you don't come, this is a waste of 2 hours. It's that kind of dependency that Jesus said. It is that kind of attitude of dependency upon Jesus, dependency on the presence of God. To them belongs the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself said in John chapter 5 verse 19, he says, the Son of Man or the Son does, without the Father, the Son can do nothing. In other words, he's declaring his dependency. He's declaring his very dependency upon the presence and the communication that he has with his Father. Do you understand that that is a different kind of need than we think we are okay, but we just want Jesus to make it better? Neil spoke about behavior modification, but it is an attitude of heart that every moment, I want to tell you, the same Jesus that saved you, that gave you the Holy Spirit, is the only Holy Spirit that can help you to become more like Jesus. No amount of Bible reading, no amount of prayer in itself and out of your own power, and if you pray because you think it's a spiritual discipline, yes it is, but you must understand why there is a discipline. There needs to be this inner conviction that without the Holy Spirit, I can't even read the Bible and understand it. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Just like Jesus said, without the Father, I can do nothing. And Jesus declared consistently his dependence upon the Father. And that is, I believe, this is the kind of culture, this is the kind of inner thinking that we need to come to, that we need to come to a place that we understand that we desperately need Jesus. And without him, none of what we call Christianity makes sense. Do you understand that if we come to God with that kind of attitude, that our prayer, that we would not have to be forced to pray, we would not have to discipline ourselves to pray. I want to tell you, a beggar that wants bread, that little orphan that runs for this piece of bread, grabs it out of my hand, He doesn't have to discipline himself. He doesn't have to tell himself, okay, I've got to run for the bread now. It's this instinctive thing that when he sees bread, when he sees something that will satisfy his very deepest need to survive, he just runs. He just runs and he grabs. I want to tell you that what really broke my heart, I was standing and there was a little boy with something black in his hands. And I remember I was the 24th of December, I was still in Maputo, and I saw this little boy, and he had something black in his hand. And I looked, what is the black thing in his hand? And he shook it, and the flies went off, and he bit it. And when it was a piece of bread, and when his hand went down, the flies just blackened it again. And I stood there, and I flew back the 25th, and that evening, I was at a Christmas dinner where the table was overflowing with food. And on our table, there was bread. I want to tell you, I couldn't touch the meat. I couldn't touch the meat. The best I could do was to eat a piece of bread. And I realized, and as this week, as I was just listening to Neil's sermon again and again, I asked myself, Jan, are you really poor in spirit? Or have you trained yourself to be a good Christian? Or are you in some way self-sufficient? I can do this. I can make another plan. I can do something else. Or am I in a place that I'm truly for daily growth, for daily bread, for daily sustenance, am I truly poor in spirit? Or do I feed from my own kingdom? Do I feed from my own resources? And if my resources run out or run little, then I approach God as a means of, wow, it would be nice if I can have this. Or is it like a John Knox that said, God, give me Scotland or I'll die? Is that the cry of our heart? Is that the measure of poverty of spirit that we are engaged in? Because that is the kind of poverty of spirit, poorness of spirit that God says, okay, if you are this desperate, if you acknowledge me in this way, that I am your only hope, I'm not your last resort, I am your first response, then the kingdom, then you can have the kingdom, it's yours. And maybe I'm not tapping into the fullness of the kingdom because I'm not truly poor in spirit. Now, here's the blessedness of being poor in spirit, is that if you're poor in spirit, you don't stay poor in the spirit. Because God says, as soon as I see that kind of heart attitude, not the outward manifestation, not, as Niels has said, the behavior modification, I say the right words, I do the right moves, I go to the meetings, but I'm truly so desperate for God. What happens in our society is that some of you, when you look at this bread, will think absolutely nothing of it. You'll either like it or you'll loathe it. You'll either say, I eat that or I don't eat that. And sometimes we approach Jesus in that way. God, what do you have on offer? Not that. I'll take that. I don't eat that. I don't obey that. I like that. That I don't like. And I believe that we need to come to a place, if we truly want to embrace the things of the kingdom, what that God really wants to bless us, that we need to come in a posture, I'm poor in spirit. God, I need you. You need Jesus just as much now as you needed him the day that you got saved. Because your predestination was not to get out of hell. Your predestination is to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. And for that, we need to realize that we are poor in spirit. So when we worship, is it just we come and we sing a couple of songs? Or when we worship, is my attitude of heart, I'm poor in spirit. God, I need you. I'm singing this song because I want to focus my eyes upon you. And I realize, God, that I truly, truly need you. And tomorrow, I'm going to need you more. And the day after, I'm going to need you more. And the day after, because I've seen you, and I've seen you for who you are, and I've seen what you have done in my life, therefore, I'm going to need you more, God. And we never come to a place. I've read about the biographies of men and women that have been used by God, and as soon as they are filled by God, they say, God, I need you. What, you've just been filled? Yes, I need you, God, for what I want to see done. God, I need you. Who of you want to see revival? Then we need to be poor in spirit. We need to understand. There's a lot of people that are trying to sell the idea to you that we don't have to ask for revival. We are in revival. I want to tell you, if this is revival, I'm not seeing unsaved people falling down in the streets calling out to Jesus. I'm not seeing droves and droves of people getting out of wheelchairs. I'm not seeing that. So if we really want revival, we need to understand, we need to come to a sober estimation of where we are. That we can realize that we are poor in spirit. Now the word does say, what do you do in your poverty? We don't get stuck in our poverty. We never get stuck in our poverty because God has says, I've got the whole kingdom for you. You just need to realize who you are and where you are so that you can ask. What does the word of God say? The word of God says you receive not because you ask not. And you ask with the wrong motives. So even when it comes to forgiveness, with mercy, with forgiveness, is we forgive and then we are forgiven. If we do not forgive the sins of others, we ourselves are not forgiven. But we are not condemned in our sin because there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So we have this answer, this blessedness of Christ in the Beatitude. But we also have to look at the condition, the poverty of spirit. I was asking the Lord, I was preparing and right through the night I was up, and then it was, Wendy asked me later on, Jan, just go and sit in another room. I was up and then I was trying to sleep again, and I had this message, but I just felt it needs something. I need something I feel has not finished, and praise God for intercession prayer meetings beforehand. Through the prayer meeting, we prayed in this direction, but not greatly. And then Isaac had this, he started praying about the woman with the issue of blood. And I felt it was like the missing link that God has for us this morning. And it says, it's in Luke chapter 8. It says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man, Jairus, and was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at the feet of Jesus, he implored him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. The girl was 12 years old. This woman, she was dying. This woman had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? And interesting, then says, when all denied it, Peter said, it's like Jesus turning around, who touched me? It wasn't me. Was it you? No, it wasn't me. You? No, it wasn't me either. There was a crowd around Jesus, and everybody denied touching him. You find that strange? It's almost like they were afraid what he was going to do after that. Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And I want to stop for a minute. Here was a woman for 12 years. I just want to read a portion of scripture because this will put it into context. Leviticus 15, verse 23. It says, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of a menstrual impurity. Some of you are already uncomfortable now. Or if she has had a discharge beyond the time of her impurity. This woman had a discharge of blood for how many years? 12 years. Listen to it. It says, if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all of the days of the discharge she shall be continue in uncleanness. As in the days of impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of a discharge, shall be to her as a bed of impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of a menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So for 12 years, everything and everyone that this woman touched, there was this knowledge inside of her, when I touch it, it becomes unclean. Everything about her life screamed, unclean. Not for 10 minutes, not for 3 days, for 12 years. 12 years. 12 times 365 days. Every time she sat on a bed, unclean. She touched the chair, unclean. She touched food, unclean. She touched another person, unclean. Do you think that she had need? Do you think that she had tried? The Bible makes it quite clear that she spent everything that she had. Everything, whole livelihood she spent, going from one place to another. Can you help me? Can you treat me? Can you give me some medicine? Can you give me something that I can do so that I can just stop this discharge of blood so that I can be clean? And none could help her. Who of you think after 12 years, some form of discouragement might have crept in? A little bit of disappointment. Maybe this time. Maybe if I pay this guy all of my money, he can help me. Nothing. She had no money. She had no place to go. She could hardly go out of fear of touching people and making them unclean. And she came to a place where Jesus was not just, maybe this will help. Said, if I can only touch his garment. And she crept up behind Jesus. At this stage, a crowd was pushing around Jesus. They were pressing in. Who wants to be Jesus this morning? I need a volunteer. Who wants to be Jesus for a morning? Nobody? You don't have to be perfect. We'll just pretend. Stephanus is the most Christ-like person. Okay. Now we need 12 disciples. We need a Peter, a big mouth that speaks before he thinks. Okay. I need 12 people. Okay, we can pray for counting. Okay, thank you very much. Don't worry, the renter crowd is coming. Okay. Okay, just stand there, the disciples around him. Okay, now I'm going to need a woman. Thank you, Angelique. And now I'm going to need a crowd that really loves Jesus and wants to touch Jesus. You just want to touch Jesus. Disciples, you are the Jesus' bodyguards. Form a circle around him and try and protect him against the maddening crowd They just want to touch Jesus. Okay, we need a bigger crowd. Come on, more people follow Jesus. Come on. Okay, I see you. Come, I need a crowd. I need a crowd that pushes in. Okay? You don't have to wrestle Jesus. You can just try to touch him. Okay. Angelique, won't you guys like turn to the side? Jesus, go towards the exit. Yeah. Crowd around him. Just stand still. Okay. Just crowd in. Try to touch Jesus. Okay, I need a little bit more crowd. Come, crowd. Rent a crowd. Come. I need more people here. You think those are the only people that follow Jesus? That's it, Johnny. You've got it. Try and touch him. Try and touch him. Okay, Angelique. Go and touch Jesus. The hem of his garment, not the top of his head. The hem of his garment. She's touching people. She's unclean. What's happening to them? They're becoming unclean. As she's touching them, under the law, they've just become unclean. Thank you, crowd. Thank you, Angelique. There's something in there for you, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who was touching Jesus? There was a lot of people. There was a crowd pressing in. There was a crowd pressing in. But one person touched him. One person for whom it wasn't just nice to touch Jesus, hoping that they would get to touch Jesus. But there was one. Everybody was pressing. But there was one that was pressing with faith. Being truly needy and say, God, I need you. She had to press through the prejudice of an unclean woman. She had to press through what other people would say about her. She had to press through the ridicule, the judgment, the condemnation of a whole crowd of people that were just trying to touch Jesus. She had to press through failed attempts. She had to press through disappointment and discouragement. She needed to press through a crowd that was all wanting to be around Jesus. A crowd, when Jesus asked, who touched me? All denied it. It wasn't me. I was there. I was pushing against Monia, but it wasn't me touching you. It was him. No, it wasn't me either. And when she touched Jesus with faith, because Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. So she touched Jesus in a way that Jesus says, when she touched me, I felt power going out from me. So he wasn't aware of a physical touch, but he was aware of a draw upon the power that he carried. And he was aware that there was a discharge of power. The discharge of Jesus' power stopped her discharge of blood. I want to ask you, are you that poor in spirit? Because everybody's crowding. Everybody's crowding to be around Jesus. Everybody's sitting here. Everybody wants to receive something from Jesus. Everybody comes here in the morning hoping, maybe this morning I'll find something. But you've got to press through so many things. You've got to press through how you're feeling this morning. You're going to press through, what will people think if I express my desperation? If I express my poverty of spirit, if I express my desperate, desperate need for Jesus, or will I be amongst the crowd that hopefully he'll turn around and touch me? And I believe this is the kind of poverty of spirit that causes us to press. To press, to take hold of that kingdom. For since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God has suffered violent and violent or forceful people. People that are pushing and pressing by faith from a place of poverty of spirit. I really need you, God. It's to those that find the discharge of the power. It's those that experience the kingdom that is theirs. And that's the kind of attitude that I believe that Jesus wants us to have and to cultivate in our hearts. To contemplate. And I had to be honest with myself, because when I thought about myself, I didn't immediately think about myself as poor in spirit. I thought, but Jan, you're filled with the Spirit and you can speak in tongues and you know, I think I'm spiritual. And then I realized, you know, Jan, your prayer life, does that come from, God, I really need you? Or is it, you know, this is a discipline that I've got to get. This is something that I've got to get under my belt. You know, I've got to be a good Christian. I've got to pray more. This is my daily bread. This is my Bible. Sorry, it's not the iPad. Do I eat the word as a necessity of life? Am I poor in spirit? Am I that hungry boy that when he sees bread, he runs? Or am I gluten intolerant? Am I on a starch-free diet? I don't like wheat. Or am I so desperate? God, I'm poor in spirit. When I think about myself, I need you. And thank God that he's always there in our time of need. Because he says, therefore, come quickly. Nils read it this morning, and the altar call was, come with boldness to the throne of grace, where we will find mercy and obtain grace. When? For our time of need. Time when we realize that without God, we are nothing. And without him and without his Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And we are utterly dependent. We are not spirit-filled because we are a spirit-filled church. We are not spirit-filled because we are Pentecostals. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because without him, we can't see Jesus. We will meet the historical Jesus. We desperately need him. When you desperately need, I want to tell you that prayer will never be a burden. When you desperately need, prayer will be like the bread to a Bokaria orphan. You'll run. You'll run. How do we sustain this poverty of spirit? How do I know that I've come to a place where my poverty in spirit has left? It's when I become so familiar with the presence of God. When I hear about someone that gets saved, I'm like, huh, that's nice. While all of heaven rejoices, we go, huh, that's nice. I know that I've lost the sense of where I was when Jesus saved me. And therefore, I do not consider the person that just got saved in the same way. I'm not even considering my own salvation. I'm just thinking, oh, another one into the kingdom. When we make little of what God does, or if we start classifying miracles, this is a big miracle, this is a small miracle, I know that my poverty of spirit has gone. When I try to determine spirituality and start comparing myself not to Jesus, but to other people, I will find that my poverty of spirit disappears. My hunger for God, my desperation for God, my thirst for God disappears. But when I see Him, I'll always be aware of my poverty of spirit and my solution to my poverty. This is not about you feeling bad and maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm bad, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. At least you are right about this. But you can do something about it. If you acknowledge your poverty of spirit, if you acknowledge that you are in need of God, you are more in need of God than the person next to you. You are more in need of God than you realize. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and saying, hey, I'm not too bad, you know. Life's looking good. Poverty of spirit. God says immediately, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is, not will be, I love that, is the kingdom of heaven. So what releases the riches of the kingdom of heaven upon us? Yes, we must realize we've been blessed with all spiritual riches and we are King's kids. But to access the kingdom, to access that riches, we need to humbly come and say, I need. I am in desperate need. Then, Jesus says, for those of this kind of attitude, here's the kingdom. Here's the riches. Here's the healing. Here's the deliverance. Here's the joy. Here's everything that the kingdom gives you. Here it is. I want to encourage us. And maybe for middle-class people, like most of us are, this is a kind of hard thing. You know about, there's something about, who of you have met some of the beggars on Wellington streets? I mean, I know they just don't break for bread, but they always ask for bread. has anybody come up to you, like, of a 5 rankies for a sack wine? No, it's always bread. Oh, broeiki. Because it speaks to our most basic need. It speaks to our most basic need. Who of you have felt, don't you have any shame? If I would ask you now, I want you to go onto the streets and I want you to go and beg for bread. I want you to go and stand at a robot, stop every car. Don't go and put on bad clothing, just as you are. Can I please have bread? Most of us can't even do it amongst ourselves. Most of us feel ashamed amongst ourselves where we should love one another to express need. Because I don't want to ask. I don't want to ask, you know that Afrikaans saying, is frek voor ek vra? It's not poverty of spirit. It's a form of pride. I believe that the Lord, when it comes to our growth in Jesus, I believe that the Lord wants us to discover the blessing. The blessing of understanding that we are poor in spirit. And that when we acknowledge our poverty of spirit, it causes us to access the riches of the kingdom. If we think we don't need, if we think that we don't really need, we won't really ask. If you can still make a plan before asking, you most probably will. If you can try a little bit harder but won't ask, you'll most probably try a little bit harder. But here Jesus says, in the kingdom, here it is, poor in spirit, those that know that they really, 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 really need God desperately are the ones to whom the kingdom will manifest. Interesting, it doesn't say to those who proclaim the kingdom boldly. You see, it doesn't put us in a place of weakness. It actually places us in a place of strength and aligns us to receive from the kingdom. Because when we are weak, His strength is made perfect in us. So that if anything goes right, none of us will be able to take the glory and say, I did that. Some people testify about Jesus, but it's like more about themselves. And at the end of the testimony, you're not sure whether you should applaud them or Jesus. We need to understand that anything good that happens in your life is because of Jesus. You can only take credit for the mess ups. That woman, I don't know what you need to push through. Maybe you need to push through your religious background. Maybe you need to push through your preference. How you would like to see things happen. Maybe you need to press through disappointment. Maybe you need to press through discouragement. Maybe you need to press through prevailing sickness. Maybe you should push through, what will people think of me if I really go after Jesus? Not just wanting to be one of the crowd, but I want to be that person that touches Him with faith, into whose very life the power of change can flow, so that I can give it to others. To be that conduit. And if Jesus would ask, who touched me with that kind of faith? I'd say, that's me, God. And she went trembling. She went trembling. That's me, but I got healed. I wonder what she was expecting. You see, the other people just expected the law. She maybe expected, woman, how dare you touch me? You're unclean. How dare you? How dare you touch me? You're unclean. You've made me unclean. And isn't this the beauty of Jesus and the new covenant? In the old covenant, when an unclean person would touch a clean person, the clean person would become unclean. In the new covenant, the clean touches the unclean and the unclean becomes clean. That's the difference. It's a massive difference because the sacrifice has already been made. The woman of blood with the issue of blood, for her to be clean again, there had to be an offering of blood. After 8 days, after she ceased with the discharge, 8 days need to pass that to make sure that the discharge has stopped. And then she had to go to the temple and she needed to offer up some doves and some pigeons as a blood offering. And then the priest would say, you are now clean again. In this new covenant, we touch the unclean and they become clean. Jesus touches lepers and they become clean.
for you to access the riches of the kingdom. And this is almost the tension or the paradox that you often find in Scripture. You need to declare, I need you, God. I am so dependent on you. Not like a middle class family that just don't make it every month. I'm like a beggar, God, that if you don't give me today, I'm dying. That's my kind of, that's my level of need of you, Jesus. That's my level of needing you to become like you. That is what I need. And to that, God, I'm going to press. I'm going to press through the crowd. I'm going to press through everything that wants to keep me away from touching Jesus with faith. I'm going to walk away from everything that wants me to be part of the crowd and sort of touching Jesus in a way that expects nothing, but I just want to be close. I want to touch you, Jesus, because I need you. I know this morning in the prayer meeting beforehand, I had a clear sense that this message was for some of you. And I know, Angelique, when you came, I knew you're pushing through something. You're pushing through something. And those things that you needed to push through scared her. It took effort. It took her to leave her house. It took her to press through the crowd. It wasn't good to be in the proximity of Jesus. We can so easily be around the people of Jesus. We can even be around the people that touches Jesus and have absolutely nothing happen in our life but a little bit of excitement. Jesus doesn't want to give us a little bit of excitement. Want to give us the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For those of you that think this message is not for me are in the greatest need. I'm going to close with this. Jesus speaks to the church in Laodicea. He said, the lukewarm, he tells him, you say that you are spiritually rich and that you are able to see and you have need of nothing. He says, but actually, when I look at you, I see a church that is wretched, blind, and in great need. And he doesn't just tell them, listen, you suck. He says, now go and buy salve for your eyes so that you can see. Go and buy robes that is consistent with your condition of me and of who you are in me. So we always, even when he points out a mistake or an area that we are not where we should be or could be, he always gives the remedy. But we need to take the remedy. We need to take the remedy. It's like you're sick, you go to the doctor gives you pills to drink and you don't drink the pills. And then you don't get well. And then you complain. And then people ask him, but I've been to the doctor. He's given me pills. Have you drank them? No. Okay. Maybe you should drink the remedy. So when Jesus points something out, even like poverty of spirit, he always gives the remedy. Always gives the remedy. Press in. Press in. Declare your poorness of spirit. You don't have to worry. You won't lose anything when you declare that you are poor in spirit. In fact, you will gain. You'll gain more than you have now. Because some of you have settled. I have enough knowledge. I have enough this. I have enough that. I hope I get something this morning. If you're in that place, if you've stopped pressing, I want to encourage you to start pressing again. Press through. Press through. Press through. I want to In closing, I want us to do something prophetically. I want a couple of people just to come and line up. People that feel that they are pressing at the moment. And then I want people that really are trusting God for something to come forward and try to press through. Press through the people. Don't walk around them. Try to press through them. As an act. As a prophetic act that there's something in my life that I need to press. I need to press. There's something that I'm desperate for. And for some of you, immediately, now while I'm saying this, I think there's no way I'm going up front. Maybe that's your problem. You're not desperate enough. You're hiding behind your discomfort. You need to press through your discomfort. You need to press through that which you don't understand so that you can come to understanding. So I'm wondering if I can get a line of strong people just lining up, making a hedge here.
Father, I thank you that as people are coming forward now to prophetically act, a pressing through things that hold them back, I pray that you will come and break through for them, Lord. I pray, God, that as they press through the crowd, they will touch you, Jesus, with faith. I pray, God, that they would truly not be stopped by anything in their lives, not any obstacle. Father, I pray that just as people are pressing through, Father, I pray for those that were brave enough this morning to do something as foolish as this. I pray, God, that they would not have just broken through the crowds, but I pray in faith that they would have touched Jesus. And I pray for every single one of them, a release of your power, a discharge of your power into their lives to overcome in areas that they desperately want to overcome. Years and years and years and years and years. I pray, Lord, that this simple and seemingly foolish prophetic act of pressing through things in their lives, that you will cause them to break through. And I'm sensing, Jesus, those of you that are standing here, that have broken through, I sense Jesus asking you, who touched me? Who touched me? And if you want, you can respond to that. Thank you. Who touched me? Who touched me? Blessed are the poor in spirit.